Shalom to all. We're starting about the fourth line with a quote from the Mishnah. Amar Rav Shimon b'tchilo hayu karin oson osvei shvius. And today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe, her neshama should have an aliyah. So Mishnah told us that soichrei shvius, people who do business with Shemitah produce, are now give edos. And the Rav Shimon said something very cryptic. Originally, they were called osvei shvius. Then Mishurabu anasim. When the anasim increased, they went back to being called soichrei shvius. What's going on over here? And that's what the Gemara says. My kamar, what's being said? Amar Rav Yehuda explains. Hachad kamar, this is what Rav Shimon saying. B'tchilo hayu imrim. Originally used to say osvei shvius, those who gather Shemitah produce. Sheirin are allowed to give edos. Soichrim psulin is only people who do business with a pair of shvius. Those are possible. However, when these people increased, they would give money to poor people. And the neem would go and gather produce of Shemitah, umaisu, and then bring it to those people who gave them the money. And they went back to say that both soichrim and oisvei shvius are possible. However, the son's Rechava asked on this, if this is really the explanation, instead of Mishnah saying when the anasim increased, anasim is mashma that somebody was forced to do something. No one's being forced to do anything over here. As you just say, when the merchants increased, it used to be there were just some people who were soichrei shvius. Then we had a whole bunch of other people that jumped on the bandwagon and started paying off anim to gather produce of shvius for them. So those guys are also considered tagarim, merchants of sorts, and that's what the Mishnah should say. Hell, rather, it must be it's different. But chila hayu aim originally used to say echazav echazav psulin. The other person did business with peir shvius, or he simply gathered too much peir shvius. Both these people are possible to give edas. However, mishurabah anasin, when the anasim increased, and umainin who one of these are noina, this referring to tax, kidemach Rabbi Yanai, like Rabbi Yanai announced, puku v'zor b'shvius, go out and plant on Shemitah, mishom arnona, because of the taxes. This is referring to when the government said, you have to pay a certain amount of grain every single year, and they don't care if it's Shemitah or not. Rabbi Yanai said, go out and plant on Shemitah so you could pay this tax. So Chazru Lomer, they went back to say that oisvin ksherin, people who are gathering produce on Shemitah are kosher edim, because they simply need to gather produce to pay the tax. Whereas soichrim psulin, it's only if a person does business, then they're possible. Now that you just mentioned working land on Shemitah, we have a whole story about this. Rav Chiya bar Zarnuki, Rav Shimon ben Yitzadok, havu kazi la'abar shana ba'asya. They were going along the way to do an Eber Shana to discuss extending the year, and they were going to Asya, which is outside Eretz Yisrael, and Pagabuhu Reshlakish Shlakish encountered them, Itbel Badayu, he joined himself along with them, Amr, he said, Eiz Almana go, Echziel Misi, Hechi Avdi Ovda, how they go about doing this. I want to see how this whole Eber Shana works. Now, it happened to be a Shemitah year, and Chazay, he saw, Lahu Gavar, there was a fellow to Kakariv who was plowing his field, Amr Lahen, so he told his Rabbanan, Kayin Vachirish, this guy's a Kayin and he's plowing. We're going to see soon why he called him a Kayin, but he's basically telling them, this guy's plowing his field on Shemitah, you're not allowed to do so, you got to give him Musa. So Amulai, the Rabbanan told him, Yachalaimer, the guy could say, I guess I need a Sayachai, I'm not Gistain, I'm a hired hand. This is really owned by a non-Jew, and I'm just working for him, and that's allowed on Shemitah. Now they continued walking along the way. Su Chazelu Gavra, he went and saw another guy to have a Kosach Bakarme who's trimming his vines, and Amulani told him, Kain Vizoimer, he's a Kain and he's trimming his vines, you're not allowed to do this on Shemitah. So Amulai, they told him, Yachalaimer, the guy could always say, Leikal Beis Habad Nitzarech, I need this for the netting of the Beis Habad. This is some sort of netting made out of branches and twigs that was used for the oil press, and that's permitted to be done on Shemitah. So Amulahem, Shalkas respond to them, Halevi Adeim, Ekel Imlakalkalois. The heart knows if it's for the Ekel, which is what we just said, is this netting for the olive press, or Laakalkalois means if he's trying to deceive. He's basically using his play on words. In other words, Shalkas was telling them, this guy knows whether or not he's doing something wrong. Now the Gemara pauses and asks, Hamrul Huberesha, what did he tell them first? Meaning, which story came first? Even if you want to say, Hakamaisa Amrul Huberesha, that it was the first story that we have that came first. Well, Hanamilim Ragistai Nibisaychai. Why, when the second story happened, when the guy was trimming his vines, didn't they just say, it could be that the guy's a hired hand? They could have used the same explanation for the person's behavior in both situations. Ella must be ha'amar le'bereisha, that it was the second thing that happened first. They saw the guy trimming his vines, or Ish Lakish said, you gotta give the guy musar. They had explained that it could be the guy wants it for the Ekel Beis Habad. And then, v'hadar amar le'huach, afterwards they encounter the second guy, who's really our first story of the fellow plowing the field, and it's regarding that fellow that they said that maybe he's just an agistain, a hired hand. Now we explain, ma'ishna kayin, why specifically a kayin? Why do Ish Lakish say the guy's a kayin? That's because, mishum d'chashid yashviyas, they're chasha, they're suspected for not keeping Shemitah properly. Why is this? Ketanya, we have a brisa that's a proper girsa. Saw truma shenafel me'a son shel shvius. If one saw of truma fell into 100 saw of Shemitah produce, tale, it's batal, and there's no problem. Whereas pachas mikan, if it was less than this, meaning there was less than 100 saw of Shemitah produce, your kavu would have to be left to rot. Vavina bon, we ask on this, amai or kavu, why should it be left to rot? Him krenu l'kayin, made truma. The whole thing should just be sold to the kayin for the value of truma, chutz min me'a saw, except for the value of that saw of truma that fell in, because that belongs to the kayin without him having to pay for it. And so why are we letting the whole thing rot? And Rav Chiya Mishmei de Ula, Rav Chiya said the name of Ula, Zoyse Merisus tells us that Nechshu Kehama Shvius, Kehana were suspected of not keeping Shemitah properly, specifically in regards to something called beer. This is a din that at a certain point in time, all Shemitah produce has to be removed from a person's house. They're not allowed to eat it anymore. And we're afraid that since throughout the year, a Kayin's allowed to have things that are usher to other people, for example, Truma, he might say, well, I'm allowed to have this Shemitah produce even though it's the time for beer. And that's why they're suspected of not keeping Shemitah properly, which is why Rish Lakish said that this guy's a Kayin. Now we continue with the story. Amru, they said, Mina Rav Chiya Zarnuki and Rav Shimei Tzadok said to themselves, Troida Hudain, this one is a Troida, meaning Reish Lakish, he's very argumentative, he's the type of person that causes issues, we can't have him watch our proceedings and our discussions of whether or not to make an Ibriyar. And Kimatul Hassam, when they got there, Slikul Igra, they went up to the roof, that's where the discussions were taking place, and Shalful Dargmituse, they took the ladder from under him so that he couldn't climb up after them. Now Reish Lakish wasn't having any of this. Also, Kamei Rav Yechanan, he went to Rav Yechanan, Amrle, he asked him, Bnei Adam Chashin al Shvias, Ksher Labar Shana, are people who are Chashin on Shvias, Kosher to extend the year? And he basically explained to him what happened, that we were walking along the way, twice we saw a person working their field during Shemitah, and these Rabbanon not only refused to give Musar, but they covered for the guy, so I'm calling these Rabbanon Chashin al Shvias. And so they're not Kosher to extend the year. Now, before even waiting for an answer from Rav Yechanan, Reish Lakish had a whole conversation with himself, Hadar Amar, then he went back and said, Likashli Midi, I actually don't have a problem with Dava Shleshi Roy Bakar. This is just like the case of the Shleshi Roy Bakar, which we had in the previous parak, who were talking with each other about the year, Rabbanon Achush Benayu Samach, and the Rabbanon, who were listening to these Roy Bakar, they heard what the conversation was, but they relied on their own Cheshbin in order to extend the year. And it's the same thing, even though these Rabbanon, Rav Chiya Bar Zarnuki and Rav Shimei Tzadok might not be Roy to actually paskin to extend the year, all the other Rabbanon involved in the discussion could hear their opinion, and then based off of their own calculations, they could decide to make an Ibriyar, so there's no problem. However, Hadar Amar, then Reish Lakish went back and said, Loi Dami, it's actually not comparable. Hasam, over there in the case of Shleshi Roy Bakar, Hadar Imin Rabbanon Vibrula, who Shasa. The Rabbanon went, they took a vote, and that's why they extended the year. But Hach over here, Kasher Rishayim, who? It's a Kasher Rishayim. Kasher Rishayim literally means a whole band or a group of evil people. A Kasher Rishayim ain't even a minion. And Kasher Rishayim can't be part of the count. They can't be part of the vote. So it's not that Rav Chiya Bar Zarnuki and Rav Shimei Tzadok are just random people giving their opinion, but they're not involved in adding a month to the year. They're part and parcel of the whole Psak, and they're not allowed to do this because, again, they're Chashad al Shvias. Now, when Reish Lakish called him Kasher Rishayim, Amar Rebbechon, Rebbechon spoke up and said, Da'aka, this is very bothersome. It pains me that you call him this. What happened afterwards? Kyosel Kamed Rav Yechanan, when Rav Chiya Bar Zarnuki and Rav Shimei Tzadok came in front of Rav Yechanan and they heard what happened, Amrulay, they told him, Karilon Roy Bakar, Vloy Amrulay Marvulay Midi, he called us Roy Bakar, which is very demeaning, and you didn't say anything to him? So Amrulay responded to them, Vi Karil Hu Roy Tzain, my Aminolay, if he would have even called you Roy Tzain, shepherds, which is even more demeaning than Roy Bakar, what was I supposed to tell him? And that's why Rav Yechanan defended himself. Now the Gemara says, my Kesher Hashayim, what does this mean, Kesher Hashayim? Where do we get this from? That Kesher Hashayim means a band of evildoers. And so we're going to have quite the story, which basically refers to when Sancheirev came with his army of over 100,000 soldiers to surround Yerushalayim. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was a tzaddik, was the king at that time, and he encouraged the people to fortify themselves and to fight and not to give up. However, there was a person who was very influential in Chizkiyah's kingdom called Shevna, who had decided that he was going to give in to Sancheirev and that he would surrender. And that's where we're going to get this understanding of Kesher Hashayim. So the Gemara tells us, Shevna, Havadarsh Betleser of Asa. Shevna, he was so chashuv, he used to darshan to 130,000 people, whereas Chizkiyahu, who was the king himself, Havadarsh Bechatzar of Asa, he only darshan to 110,000 people. And Kiyos Sancheirev, Tzara Lod Yerushalayim, when Sancheirev came and surrounded Yerushalayim, Kosav Shevna Piska, Shevna wrote a note, Shad Begira, and he shot it with an arrow over the wall, and this is what the note said, Shevna Siate Shlimu, Shevna and his whole crew, his Chevra, they're willing to surrender, but Chizkiyah Siate Lod Yerushalayim, Chizkiyah and his Chevra are not willing to surrender. And where do we see this action of Shevna being spoken about in the Pasuk? Shenemar, the Pasuk tells us, Kine Rishayim Yedukun Keshes, for behold, the Rishayim bend the bow, Kainu Chitza Mal Yaser, they ready their arrow on the string. And that's referring to Shevna shooting his arrow with the note over the wall. Now, Havakam Esvi Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah was afraid. Amar, he said, Domachas Rishayim Matiyadat de Kuchabrichu Basaruba. Maybe Hashem's Das is turned towards the Riv because Shevna had the Riv. He had 130,000 Talmidim as opposed to the 110,000 of Chizkiyah. And Kim Deruba Mimsri, since the Riv is giving themselves over in Hunai Mimsri, maybe we should also give ourselves over. However, Banaviv Amarloi, the Navi came and told him, and here's the Pasuk, Loi Saimrun Kesher, L'chol Asher Yoimer Ha'am Hazeh Kesher. Don't say the word Kesher about anyone whom the people says Kesher. Climber, this means to say, Kesher Rishayim Hu. That yes, even though you have a whole group, you have a whole band of people, it's still Kesher Rishayim. The Kesher Rishayim ain't even a minion. And a Kesher Rishayim is not part of the minion. Just because you have a majority of people saying one way, if they're Rishayim, we don't follow them. And obviously, we would follow the minority. So here we have a source for what a Kesher Rishayim is. Now we continue talking about Shevna. Halach Lachtav Loi Kever B'Kever Beis David. He went to go make a kever for himself in the burial plot of Beis David, all the people of David's house, all the kings, because he figured that he was going to end up overthrowing Chizkiyah and he would be the king, which would allow him to be buried in Kever Beis David. Now, Ban Navi Amar Loi, the Navi came and told him that he made a big mistake, and here's what his punishment would be. Malachapai, what are you doing here? Milachapai, who do you have here? Ki chasavtel chapai kever, that you dug a kever out for yourself. The Pasuk continues, the Navi told him, Hine Hashem atatalecha taltela gaver. Behold, Hashem is going to make you wander the wanderings of man. Amar Rav, Rav says, what does this mean? Taltul de gaver kashim itza, a man wandering is much more challenging than a woman wandering, because when a woman wanders around collecting and begging, people have rachmanis on her, because she's a woman, but a man, it's much more challenging for. The Navi continued telling him, Va'aitcha atai, I will wrap you around, said Hashem, and our Rabbi Yisrael Chanini explains, Mamas teaches us, Shaparchabait Saras, that Saras, leprosy, came on Shevna. Ksev Hacha says over here, Va'aitcha atai, and Ksev Hasim, it says regarding Saras, Va'al Safam Yate, so we see that he got Saras. The Navi continued telling him, Sonoif Yit Tznafcha Tznefa, he will encircle you with your enemies like a hat, Kadron like a wall, El Eretz Uchavis Yodayim V'Gaymer, you'll be sent out to exile to a wide open land. And what's this referring to? Tano is Tana Braisa, who Bikesh calling Beis Adonav, he sought out the degradation or the embarrassment of the house of his master, which is Chizkiah Melech, Fikach therefore, Nepach Kvoid L'Kaloin, his honor that he sought for himself was turned into degradation. What happened, Kavanafikiyu, when he was going out with his whole band of people in order to surrender Sancheirev, Asa Gavriel, Gavriel Malch came, Achdil Udashab Ap Mashur Yasa, he closed the door, meaning he closed the gate of the city in front of his whole contingency, and Shevna was left all by himself outside the wall of Yerushalayim, facing the enemy. Achavavon Bez on top, Amrulay, they asked him, Mashur Yasa Checha, where's your entourage? Where's your whole following that you spoke about? So Amr, he said, Hajubi, they were Chazer, they backed out on me. Amrulay, they told him, Kane, if that's so, Achuch Kamachachas Ban, you're laughing on us, you're making fun of us. And what they do to him, Nakvu Bekevav, they made holes through his heels, Vitalub Zonvesusayim, and they hung him on the tails of their horses, Vahim Magaran Oisal Kazim Abarnakim, and they dragged him across all the thorns and thistles. And Rabbi Lezer explains, how did this even happen to Shevna if he had so many Talmidim? Shevna Bal Hanahaya, he was a Bal Hanah, he enjoyed all the good Geschmack things in life, according to the second explanation of Rashi, who's involved in Mishkav Zachar. And how do we know that he was a Bal Hanah? Ksev Hachat says over here, Lech Ba El HaSoichen Hazeh, focusing on the word Soichen, and Ksev Hasim it says over there in regards to David HaMelech, we had this earlier, Utehiloi Soichenes, she shall be as a warmth for him, and so Lashon of Soichen is Lashon of warmth, and we're saying that to mean a Bal Hanah, a person who enjoys all the good things in life, and such a person, even if he's a Talmud Chacham, he could fall to a level like Shevna did. Now, the previous time we recorded this pasuk, Kihina Roshayim Yidichun Keshes, Kan Nuchitza Mayeser, as referring to what Shevna did to Chizkiah, and now we have another pasuk that refers to the same thing. Va'aymer, another pasuk tells us, Kehashasos Yareson Tzadik Ma'apa'al, literally this means when the Shasos are destroyed, what does the Tzadik accomplish? So, if you Rabbeinu, they explain this pasuk, Chana number one says, Il Chizkiah Siyot Nerasim, if Chizkiah and his Chevra were destroyed, as Lashon of Yehare Son of the pasuk, if they were destroyed, Tzadik Ma'apa'al, what did Tzadik accomplish? Tzadik over here is referring to Hashem, what type of reward would that be to Chizkiah? Chana number the other one explains, Il Beis Hamikdash Yehareis, if the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Tzadik Ma'apa'al, what did the Tzadik accomplish? Now, Ula Amar, he gives a different explanation, Il Machshavos Shel Ois HaRasha Einu Nehrasos, if the Machshavos, if the plans of that Rasha, Shevna, are not destroyed, Tzadik Ma'apa'al, so what did the Tzadik accomplish, meaning what did the Tzadik Chizkiah accomplish by all of the great things that he did, if Shevna is going to be allowed to go through with his plan? Now, based off these three explanations of the Pasuk, we're going to understand what the word Shasos means. Bishlam Mamad Amar, we understand according to Mamad Amar, which is his last one, Il Machshavos Shel Ois HaRasha, that refers to the plans of the Rasha, Shevna. So we understand why the Pasuk says, Ki HaShasos Yehareson, for the Shasos are destroyed, Shasos we understood as plans or designs of this Rasha. Ulamad Amar Beis HaMikdash Nami, even according to one who understood the Pasuk as referring to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, it also makes sense that not, because we have a Mishnah that tells us, Evan HaYis HaShoyim HaMais Nevim HaRishayim, there was a stone in the Beis HaMikdash from the days of the earlier Nevim, Ushsiyah HaYis HaNikris, it's called the Evan Shsiyah, and therefore when the Pasuk talks about the Shasos being destroyed, that means the Evan Shasiyah of the Beis HaMikdash. This is fine. El Madar Chizkiah Siyatai, but according to the first Madar, the Pasuk is referring to Chizkiah being destroyed, Hecha Shchin Tzadiki De'ikru Shasos, where do we find that a Tzadik is called Shasos? And the answer is, the Pasuk tells us, for the pillars of earth are Hashem's, and he founded the world on them. That's the word Vayashes. And when we say the pillars, that's really referring to the Tzadikim. And so we see the Tzadikim are called Vayashes or Shasos. Alternatively, we could say it's from here. The Pasuk says, Hifli Eitzo Higdel Tushia. He has shown good Eitzo, good advice. And Tushia over here means wisdom. And we know that Tzadikim are wise, so that's why they're called Tushia, which is also a Lashon of Shasos. And once we have the Pasuk of Tushia, we continue discussing it. Amr Khan says, Lomar Nikashma Tushia. Why is Torah called Tushia? Because it weakens people. Then we're not going to another explanation. Tushia, what does this mean? Sheninab Chashai, Mnei Satan, it was given quietly. Tushia is Lashon of Chashai, quiet or secret. Because the Satan tried to say, look, they're going to end up doing the Egel Azov, so why are you giving them Torah in the first place? So therefore, it had to be given quietly. Then we're not going to another understanding. Tushia is Dvarm Shal Tayu, Sha'el Meshusas Alayan. Tushia means it's words of emptiness, if you will, which the world was founded on. And when we say emptiness, it doesn't mean that it's nothing. It just means that it's simply words. Words don't have any solid matter to them. They're just words. They're in the air, if you will. It's like a radio frequency. And still the world is settled or founded on them. Another explanation of Tushia, Amar Ul, he says, Machshav Ma'el Safilu Divrei Torah, the Machshava, thoughts of worry and anxiety, that will help even for Torah, meaning when a person is anxious and worried, he's going to even forget his Torah. Shinam, because the Pasuk says, Mefer Machshavas Arumim, he does away with the thoughts of Arum, people who are wise and smart, V'lois Asena Yidehim Tushia, and their hands will not accomplish Tushia. Basically, the Pasuk is saying that when Hashem takes worry away from Tamid HaChavim and those who learn Torah, so now they're not going to forget their learning, which they were forgetting because they were anxious and worried. Now, Rabbi just qualifies, if a person learns Torah lishma, so then anxiety and worry is not going to cause him to forget his learning. Shem, because the Pasuk says, Rabbis Machshavos Levish, there's many thoughts in the heart of man, Vatzas Hashem Hitakum, but the Eitz of the counselor, advice of Hashem, that's the only thing that's going to last, meaning to say, Eitz Shiesh Ba Dvar Hashem Hitakum L'Olam, Eitz Torah, which is Dvar Hashem, meaning a person studies it only for Hashem lishma, and not for any other reason, that's going to endure forever, even if a person's worried and anxious and whatnot, still he's not going to forget his Torah if he's learning it lishma. And now go back to explain the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda had said, when is it the gamblers, Mesachkei Bekuvia, people who play with dice, are possible from being Edim? That's only if that's the only thing they're doing. But if they have some sort of gainful employment, if they have another omnes, so then they're allowed to be Edim. And Amar Rav Amar Blazer, he tells us, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Another Pesach by the same, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Amar Blazer, Kulan Srichan Achraza Bezdin, all these people that we mentioned in the Mishnah are possible for Edos. We have to make Achraza, an official announcement in Bezdin, that so and so is possible to give Edos. Then we analyze. On the previous stuff, we had said that a Raya, a shepherd or a herdsman, possible to give Edos. The Gemara tells us, Raya, in regards to this herdsman, Pligi Bar Vach Ravina, or Vach Ravina argue about him, Chad Omer Bay Achraza, one says that we have to announce that this Raya is possible. Chad Omer Loy Bay Achraza, one says we don't even have to announce he's possible anyway. Further discussion, Bishlam Manda Omer Loy Bay Achraza, we understand according to Manda Omer that we do not need to announce about him, and anyway he's going to be possible. Hanim Dom Rav Yudam Rav, that's the same thing that Rav Yudam said B'Shem Rav, that Stam Raya possible. A standard Raya is possible, even if we have no proof that he led his animals to eat from somebody else's field, nonetheless he's possible, so we don't have to announce anything about him, because the standard understanding is that he's possible. El Manda Omer Bay Achraza, according to Manda Omer that we do have to officially announce about a Raya that he's possible, my Stam Raya possible. What does it mean that a Stam Raya is possible? Why is a Stam Raya possible? And the answer is the Bistama Machrazinan Ale. What this really means to say is that Bistama, the standard fallback, the thing we're going to do for any Raya, is announce about him that he's possible. And that's what we mean. Now we continue discussing this concept of Achraza, announcing about a person that they're possible Eidos, and this is brought out through a story. There was a Shtar Matana, a Shtar that says that one person gave a gift to another, that who was signed on it? To Gazlonim. And so, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Achshura, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel wanted to say this is a kosher document, the Halach Ruzin Alayu, because they never made an announcement in Bezin about these two people that are Pasal Edim. So, I'm like, Rava told him, need to be in an Achraz Begazlon Drabanon. We understand if a person is only Gazlon Drabanon, so we have to make an announcement about him that he's Pasal. But Begazlon De Raisa, me be in an Achraza? If a guy's a Gazlon De Raisa, do we have to make an announcement about him? Of course he's Pasal Eda. So, for sure, the Shtar is no good. Now, we just pause and say, Simon, Dover, Raya's Ganev. That's the Simon of what we're going to be talking about now. So, Rav Nachman tells us, Oichle Dover Acher, Psul Naidas. Those who eat Dover Acher are Pasal Edos. Now, even though Dover Acher usually refers to Chazer, over here it's referring to somebody who takes money from non-Jews, and that's how he has his sustenance, his food. He's Pasal Edos because it's a big Chil Hashem. The non-Jew is going to say that Yidden don't take care of their brethren, and because it's Chil Hashem caused through taking money that he shouldn't, he's not going to give Edos. However, we qualify this, Hanimilu for Hesra. That's only if he takes it in public and everyone knows that he took it from the non-Jew. Abul Batsin Oloi, if he took it privately and no one knows about it, so he's not Pasal. And also, Professor Namula Amran, even if it was known for Hesra, we didn't say that he's Pasal. Eld Efrile Zain Batsina, that's only if he was able to take it quietly, become a vazi nafshi before Hesya, but he's been vazi himself, he degrades himself by doing it before Hesya in the open, so then he's pasul. Avoloi efshrele, but if he has no other way of getting it except for before Hesya, chiyusehu, it's his livelihood. How else is he supposed to support himself and buy food if not for taking money from his non-Jew? And then it's a matter of pikuach nefesh, and then he's not possible to be an aid. Another din, Rav Nachman, he tells us, hachashar al rayas, kashal edos. Someone who's suspected regarding a rayas, he is allowed to give edos. Now Rav Shesha said, Ani Mari, please answer me, my master. Arbayim b'kasvi b'kasher, there's 40 on his shoulder, and he's kasher, he should be getting Malkus, and he's kosher, and this is even if we don't have proof 100% that he's Ivar Arias. If it was just a loy tova shmua, there was a rumor about him that he's Ivar Arias, nonetheless, he could still get Malkus Drabanon, and so you're going to say this guy's a kosher aid, but now we have a further explanation. Amar Rav, Rav said, Umayyav Nachman does agree, L'inyan Edus Isha, Shu Pasol. Then, in regards to giving Edus about a woman, that this guy who's Chashad on Arias, he's Pasol. Now, Amar Ravina says, Vitim Rav Papa, some says Rav Papa, who said, Le'amar and El Avaika. That's only said if he's going to take her out for marriage, that based off of this guy's Edus, we're going to say that she's not married and she's mother to marry other people. And that's why we can't trust him, because maybe he's giving false Eidos so that he could marry her. Avala Yula, but Eidos that he's giving, that's going to say that she is married to somebody else, less lomba, so there's no issue, meaning we are going to believe him because we have no suspicions about this. Asking more Pshita, that's obvious. If he's giving Eidos that says that she's married to somebody else, that means that he's not able to live with her, so of course we should believe him. Why not? And the answer is, by the time you might have thought, Ha'adifale, it's actually better for this guy for her to be considered married to somebody else, because the Pasuk says, Ma'im Genuvim Taku V'Goymer, that stolen waters are sweet, and therefore maybe this guy wants her to be married to somebody else, so now he could do an aver with her, and that's more geshmak. That if she remains like this, meaning if she remains not married, she's more available to him, it's easier for him to do an aver with her, and therefore we do not have to suspect anything if he's giving edus about the fact that she is married. And here's our third din. Rav Nachman said, Ganav Nisan Meganav Tishrei Loshmei Ganav. If a guy steals a Nisan or Tishrei, he's not called a Ganav. Nisan is the grain harvest, Tishrei is the grape harvest, and if a guy steals grain or grapes during this time, he's not going to be possible from giving edus because he doesn't think that he's a Ganav. Why is that? So we further explain, Hanimila by Risa. This is only talking about an Aris, a sharecropper, who anyway is taking a certain portion of the field because he's working in the field and has rights to it. And so if he takes a little bit more than he's allowed to, we say he's still kosher to give Eidos because he thinks that he's allowed to take more due to the fact that he's doing work. And this is also with Dover Muat, it's only if he takes a little bit more, and also with Dover Shenigmar Malachtoi, only with something that already reached Gemara Malach, was ready at the end of its processing. But if one of these conditions is missing, so then we would say he's a Pasul Eid. And now we actually have a story about this. Ikar Dor Zvid, one of the workers of Rav Zvid, he was not an Aris, a sharecropper, he was just a worker, he was just a hired hand. Chad ganav kabad esarei. One of them stole a kav of barley, upaslei, and Rizvid pasled him. V'chad, the other one, ganav kibar dahini, he stole a whole cluster of dates, upaslei, and Rizvid pasled him as the aid, because neither of these were an aris, and therefore they weren't allowed to take even this little extra amount. And one more story about a person who, even though it seems like they did something wrong that should pasle them from being an aid, since there's a valid rationalization to it, they're still kosher. Hanu kabay roi, the kavur nafshu b'yamtav rishon shel atzeres. These grave diggers who buried a person on the first day of Shavuos, since it's the first day of Shavuos, it's dairaisa, and they're not allowed to bury a person, but they dug the grave and they buried him anyway. Shamtinu rapapa baslinu leedos. Rapapa not only put them into cheirim, but also passed them from being edim, because we see that they were over an iser in order to get money, and that's going to make them pasul edim. However, Rachshurina Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua said they're kasher edim. So Amar Rapapa, Rapapa told him, "Vaharshayim nenu, they're rishayim. They did this iser on Yomtev." Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua explained, "No, Savri mitzvah kavdi. They thought they're doing a mitzvah, burying dead is a mitzvah, and they didn't think they were doing anything wrong." Rapapa responded, "Welcome Shamtinu lahu. We already put them into cheirim previously for doing this once already, and they weren't chayzer, and they continue doing it, burying people on Yom Tif. So you can't say they thought it was mutter." However, Huna b'Rav Yeshua explained that no, Savri, they thought to themselves, kapara ka'avdi lan rabbanon, the rabbanon are giving us a kapara. In other words, Huna b'Rav Yeshua explained that these guys thought that they were doing a mitzvah and an aver at the same time. On one hand, it's a mitzvah to bury this dead person. On the other hand, they shouldn't be doing it on Yom Tif, but l'maisa, it's a mitzvah. And that's why rabbanon put us into cheirim, because they want to give us a punishment for the aver we did, but l'maisa, we're doing a mitzvah, and therefore they continued repeating it, and that doesn't make them pasul eidos. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss who's pasul eidos. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.